Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Although today, not much Steelers talk. I want to do a preview of the Super Bowl. Hopefully you're listening to this Sunday morning before the Super Bowl. You know, Sunday mornings before the Super Bowl have always been strange to me. You know, look, I'm in my 30s now, but when I was a kid, you know, waking up Super Bowl Sunday, the game's not until 6 o'clock. What do you do all day? Yeah, I mean, you know, now, I mean, I guess, you know, you could do chores and stuff and get things done on that Sunday before having to watch the game at 6 o'clock. But it is a weird time to hold the game. I mean, you know, you have night games throughout the year, but you have football at 1 and 4 o'clock on Sunday. Monday, 8:30 kickoff, but you got work all day. It is kind of a weird, it kind of breaks up the day in a weird way for the Super Bowl. So hopefully you guys are going to have fun today watching this game. If you're going to a Super Bowl party, enjoy it. I wish I didn't hate the Patriots as much as I do, because I would love to enjoy this game as a neutral fan, right? As Steeler fans, we should be neutral fans in this game and get to watch what is really an intriguing matchup. But instead, you know, we're going into this game through the goggles of the Patriots can tie the Steelers for the most Super Bowl wins of all time. And that has to bother you as a Steeler fan. It has to. Yeah, I mean, not only does it have to bother you that the Patriots run has been as successful as it has, but the Steelers haven't been able to compete. And yes, they beat the Patriots this year, but it didn't matter much in the end as the Steelers missed the playoffs. I'm really intrigued by this matchup. I didn't watch last year's Super Bowl. I have a strong dislike for the Patriots, and there was just a sense, there always is kind of a sense of inevitability with this Patriots team, no matter what, no matter how bad it ever gets for them during the regular season. You know, they are the beast that will not die. And so there's always that sense of inevitability with them. And last year really felt that way with Tom Brady going up against Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. And you know, this second year coach and Doug Peterson, come on. I mean, you're going to tell me that Nick Foles, a backup quarterback and a second year head coach and Doug Peterson, are going to go out there and beat Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl? There was just no way. And, you know, I had that sense of inevitability. And, you know, in sports, there are these narratives that play themselves out. You know, who are the teams that beat Tom Brady in his career? It was Eli Manning, right? It was the two Eli Manning, the two Eli Manning teams. And what's so funny about that is that Tom Brady's biggest nemesis his entire career was Peyton, right? And it was actually Peyton's brother that took him down. I liked the narrative of that. And when I tried to look last year at kind of what was the narrative of the 2017 season, and was there any way that the Eagles could win that game? I just, you know, I came away and I said, there's just no way. The Patriots are I thought last year was going to be a laugher. I really did. I thought the Patriots were absolutely going to crush the Eagles. And so I was shocked. I didn't watch the game. I actually didn't watch it. I actively avoided trying to know the score. I got together with my brothers, who are both huge football fans, huge Steeler fans, and they hate the Patriots almost as much as I do. So, you know, they were more than happy to avoid any of the game as well. And so it wasn't until the fourth quarter, until we started to find out, oh, the Eagles are winning. Oh, the Eagles have been winning the entire game, and this is a very competitive football game. And finally, my girlfriend came and said, hey, you know, the Eagles look like they're going to win this game. If you want to watch the Patriots lose the Super Bowl, you should watch the fourth quarter. And so I did watch the fourth quarter of last year's game. In fact, I started to watch, I think it was like midway through the fourth quarter, whenever Brady went on that drive to take the lead, is right around when I turned the game on, which is great because I thought, okay, good. I get to watch Brady come back and win this game. Perfect. I get to miss the whole part where the Eagles are in lead. I missed the Philly special, all of that. I just get to watch Brady and company go down and win this game. That was a shocking ending last year, a shocking way for that game to play out. You know, Doug Peterson, not necessarily out coaching Bill Belichick, but he didn't make those mistakes that coaches make, that teams make against the Patriots, which is that you try to play it extra safe. You know, you try real hard not to lose to the Patriots. That respect you have for the Patriots ends up manifesting itself in your game plan and in your play on the field of just being ultra conservative. And you saw that in Doug Marrone and the Jaguars in that AFC Championship game a year ago. They had a real chance to win that game, the Jaguars did, and they just got so conservative down the stretch. And I thought what was so interesting about that matchup, if we can go back to that game, is how not necessarily aggressive they were with Blake Bortles, but you know, they were able to get I'm going to forget the running back's name, but whoever their second or third string running back was, they were able to get Corey Grant. They were able to get Corey Grant going, both in the running game and little dump offs. I mean, they were able to get some big first downs and keep some drives alive where they you know, with Blake Bortles at quarterback. And that should have been telling as to what was going to happen in the Super Bowl, that, you know, if Blake Bortles can move the ball a little bit, you get a little bit more of an aggressive coach in Doug Peterson, you know, that Patriots defense was susceptible. And you should have been able to see that. I should have been able to see that beforehand. I just did not. I thought backup quarterback Doug Peterson against Bill Belichick, this is a blowout. This is not going to be fun to watch. And there's absolutely no reason. I can tell you right now how the game's going to play. I don't need to watch it. Right? It was kind of my thought process a year ago. This year, though, I think I'm exactly the opposite. I'm really intrigued by the matchup of this game. I wish that this wasn't the Patriots against the Rams. I wish this was just generic Team A versus generic Team B, because I'd love to watch this game as a neutral. Instead, I'm going to be a huge Rams fan. I'm really intrigued by the matchup of Aaron Donald and that Rams defensive line, which the Rams have poured so many resources into in this season. Of course, they have Aaron Donald on that huge contract, but they drafted him. They've nurtured him along his entire career. But pairing him alongside Ndamukong Suh, who they're actually using more as an edge rusher this year, which I'm surprised by, Dante Fowler, who they traded for midseason, they've got a very good defensive line. And the teams that have always given Tom Brady the most trouble, and the Eagles did this a year ago. Yeah, the Eagles didn't get a whole lot of pressure on Brady, or at least the pressure that they got didn't manifest itself in big sack totals. But they got a big strip sack at the end. That's what ultimately won them the game. So I'm really intrigued by how is Bill Belichick going to try and neutralize what has to be the most talented front four, the most talented defensive line. I don't know that they're the best. I don't know that front four that they've put together, right? It's certainly they've amassed the most talent. I don't know that they're using all those players in the right way, especially using Ndamukong Suh as an edge rusher like that. But you've got Aaron Donald. I think he has 20 sacks on this season. Rushing in the interior, crazy. Crazy good. And how does Bill Belichick neutralize that? He always does. I mean, that is the one thing you can say about Bill Belichick and the Patriots that I have respect for, which is their ability to neutralize your best weapon and take your best weapons out of the game. And how are the Patriots going to do that with Aaron Donald? Because if they do, the other thing that intrigues me about this game is that the Rams have also put so many resources into that secondary, getting Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and those guys. You know, how are those guys going to stack up against what is not necessarily a who's who in the Patriots receiving core? I think the Patriots' biggest weapons in this game are probably going to be Julian Edelman and James White. I don't know that they're going to run the ball a whole lot in this game, or that they're going to try to run the ball. I feel like they can have more success in this game throwing the ball in the middle of the field if they can neutralize Aaron Donald. But, you know, is that going to mean moving the pocket with Tom Brady and that? I'm very interested to see how they do it. Maybe they do try to run the ball and keep the pass rush off of them that way and keep them guessing with the running game. You know, utilizing a lot of play action and that kind of thing. I do think the Rams are going to be susceptible in the middle of the field. We saw that a little bit, and then the success that Amari Cooper had. I expect Edelman will have a big game. I expect Gronk could even have a big game. The Rams defense, especially the Rams secondary, not been good this year. As talented as it is, you know, again, you're talking about Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters and the like. Their safeties, I forget the name of their safety. Their free safety, though, is bad. He's just bad. And I think that's going to be a problem, because when you have players like that, again, that's the kind of thing that Belichick and Brady like to exploit. There's so much talent on that Rams team, and you have Wade Phillips with 2 weeks to prepare for Tom Brady in this offense, and not Tom Brady's most talented offense. Far from it. You've got a Rob Gronkowski who's on his last legs. The rumors are out there that he might retire after this game. Yes, they've got a very good running game in with Sony Michel and a good offensive line. James White out of the backfield, of course, is dangerous, as we've seen for the last couple years. And then Julian Edelman is great. Great as an underneath and over the middle type receiver. Very intriguing on that side of the ball. And then you go to the other side. Sean McVay and his offense with Jared Goff at the helm against Bill Belichick and that defense. And again, I go to this idea that Bill Belichick does such a good job of taking away their biggest weapons. And how is he going to neutralize Todd Gurley in that running game? And not just Todd Gurley, but we've seen CJ Anderson have such success. have such success over the past couple weeks as well. And so, you know, how is Belichick with a front seven who just hasn't played well against the run this season? You know, we saw that firsthand. The Steelers have one of the best offensive lines in the game, and they had Jalen Samuels as their running back, and Jalen Samuels ran all over, was instrumental in the Steelers winning that game and sealing that game late on a late drive, a late field goal to give them a 7-point lead. Huge. So how does that translate in this game? How does Belichick go from allowing Jalen Samuels to run for 150 to shutting down Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson in this game? I'm very interested in that. And because McVay's system is so inventive, is probably the wrong word, because he does kind of he kind of borrows from the best out there. But his use, the Ringer did a great job profiling this. His use of 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, for basically, you know, what is it? 70-80% of their plays are run from the same formation. Now, variations on the same formation, but essentially the same personnel, right? Different formations, but the same personnel. That's really interesting because, again, it's the kind of tells that you have as an offense. And the Rams, you know, they kind of take that variable away. They're not switching out person all the time. So you can't tell when they're in 11, they're more likely to do this, or when they're in 12, you know, when they're, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't exist in this offense. And I'm really intrigued by that. And I'm intrigued by the whole, you know, watching what happened last year and how much success that a guy like Nick Foles had against a Bill Belichick team, and how much success Doug Peterson had. And now you have Sean McVay, who is, you know, he is, I don't want to call him the leader of this new era of offense in the NFL, but he and Doug Peterson and Andy Reid and the like, you know, they're really reinventing the offensive side of the game and bringing more of a college style to it. You know, his use of play action and you know, using so much play action this year, even in times when it's not necessarily a running down, just to keep defenses off balance, again, just to have that, to not give away tells and that kind of thing in the offense. It's so interesting. I want to enjoy this game. I'm not going to. I'm not going to sit there, heart pounding and living and dying by every Rams play. It's just a really interesting matchup to me. It really is. Because it feels like all the talent is on the Rams side. And it feels like from a coaching perspective, this is not the sort of mismatch that I thought it was going to be a year ago between Belichick and Doug Peterson. If anything, you know, I think what Doug Peterson proves is that guys like McVay can come up big in this moment. Now, but McVay is not Doug Peterson. And the tells for me in this game are going to be early on in this game. Are there situations where the Rams get into a, you know, third and short from the 34, 35, 36? Do they elect to kick a long field goal? Do they elect to go for it on fourth down? Are there those moments in this game where you can kind of see, okay, McVay's playing this a little differently? Not to say he's been super aggressive this year. In fact, I think one of the big criticisms about McVay this year is that he hasn't been that aggressive, especially in the red zone and near the goal line and going for it on fourth down, but that kind of thing. But I want to see how aggressive he can be in this game. And then it really comes down to Jared Goff. And, you know, I'm going to say a lot of the same things about Jared Goff that I would have told you about Nick Foles a year ago, which is I don't think Jared Goff is up for this test. I will grant you that Sean McVay has done a terrific job with Jared Goff this year, and the numbers that Jared Goff have put up are great. I still don't know that I'm putting Jared Goff. He's definitely not in my top five quarterbacks in the league. And I don't even know, I'd have to make the list, but I don't know that he would really be in the top 10. I mean, maybe if I put together the list, he approaches somewhere in the top 10. But he doesn't feel like that kind of quarterback to me. I don't trust him in big moments. In fact, if I took Jared Goff out of the Sean McVay offense, how good is he really? You know, you put him in another offense, and what do you have in Jared Goff? I give McVay a lot of credit. I just don't know that I trust Goff in this moment. And so I talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago when we talked about the AFC and NFC championship game, right? That McVay has to kind of drag Goff with him. I don't know that Doug Peterson had to drag Nick Foles with him. Maybe I'm wrong on this, and maybe Goff is going to go out there and play really well. And you know, one of the things that Doug Peterson did last year is he gave Nick Foles and he schemed Nick Foles into some really easy throws. Ertz, you know, over the middle, getting Corey Clement on, you know, kind of wheel routes and that kind of thing down the field. You know, giving Foles some, you know, some easy throws in that game. That's what's going to have to happen for Goff, because I don't think Goff's going to come out in this game, especially early in this game. And I don't think Goff's going to come out and be lighting the world on fire. And it's, you know, it's another one of those things that I'm interested in is what is the play calling like early in this game? Is McVay going to kind of lean on the running game early, try to set a tempo, let everyone get settled into the game? Because one thing you can say is that Tom Brady and the and company are not going to have to get settled into this game. And if the mismatch between the Rams secondary and the Patriots passing game is as one-sided as I think it's going to be, and I think it's going to be heavily in favor of the Patriots, then the Patriots could get out to a big lead. And then what does that do to the whole run-the-ball game plan of the Rams and Jared Goff and all that? You know, again, there's a way here where this thing kind of gets out of hand early, much like we've seen happen to the Rams. I mean, this happened to the Rams against the Saints last week, and that game kind of got out of hand early on, and they only were in that game because the Saints couldn't convert in the red zone. So, you know, if I'm predicting this game, I got to say the Patriots are going to win. You know, much like, I'm not going to learn from my mistake last year. I'm just going to say the Patriots are going to win. As much as I'm hoping that I'm wrong here, I think it's going to be high scoring. I think we're going to have something like, you know, 28-31 or 30-33, something like that. I mean, I think it's going to be a close game down the stretch. I just don't trust that Jared Goff's going to be able to make that play late this game like you saw Nick Foles do a year ago. Right? In fact, I think it could be even more than a three-point win. I think it could be, you know, a three-point game throughout, and then, you know, Goff kind of comes up short and the Patriots put it away with a late touchdown. So I could see something like 40-30 or something like that with a late score in this game. I have a really hard time believing that Tom Brady in consecutive years is going to lose in the Super Bowl to Nick Foles and Jared Goff. I have a real hard time believing that. I hope it is true, and I hope that the Steelers, come Monday, we're still talking about the Steelers as the most winning franchise in Super Bowl history. I just, you know, much like last year, I have a really bad feeling about this. And I was wrong last year. Hope I'm wrong this year. Enjoy the game today, and I'll be back on Monday for more Locked On Steelers.